Glenn Mills is the head coach, director of football operations, and one of the founders of the Essex Ravens Football Club. Join me, Drake DeMore, as I chat with Glenn at his house about the history of the Essex Ravens and all of his accomplishments in and out of the organization. The Win City Sports Podcast, episode 208, starts now.
Hello, how you doing? It's Zach Cassie.
Adam Henrique.
Joe Siddle.
Tom Crawford.
Todd Warner.
Brett Romberg.
TJ Laramie.
And Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Win City Sports.
What up, everybody? My name is Drake DeMore, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Win City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast. Now bi-weekly, every other Thursday, dropping on WinCitySports.com or anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts, first thing Thursday mornings. Check out our other podcasts for over 200 interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more. On the Win City Sports Radio Show, airing every single Thursday on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit at 12:30 and replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m., you'll hear highlights from our podcast interviews, as much local sports news as we can gather, and some good music. Still broadcasting from home during this pandemic and gathering up as much news as we normally can to bring to you on the radio show and here on the podcast as well following our interview segment. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at WinCity_sports. Simply search us up, the Win City Sports Podcast, or Win City Sports, WinCity, is all one word. We'll talk about that at the end of the show, as we normally do. But today is October 1st, 2020, and it's episode 208 of Win City Sports. We're into October now, third quarter of the year. Thank God to get this year over with. Obviously, nothing's going to change when that clock rolls over on December 31st, but obviously it's been a rough year for a lot of people. But that being said, we still want to bring you the stories of Windsor people and organizations around the county, including Essex County. So recently I was thinking, you know, the great thing with Win City Sports is that these interviews will be documented forever. I'll do everything I can to keep these interviews online and available to the masses forever, if possible. You know, the internet's a powerful thing. As long as that doesn't go anywhere, I want to have the Win City Sports Podcast up on Spotify or wherever you're listening to it right now, literally forever. So one thing I wanted to do after watching a Power Play Sports video on YouTube of Glenn Mills, the head coach, director, and at one point president of the Essex Ravens, I thought it would be great to reach out to him and really do a historical piece on the Ravens. You know, tell the stories about, you know, how it came to be, when you first jumped on, whatever, etc., etc. And as I'm doing my research, as I mentioned in the interview, I was shocked to see at how young the organization really is. Just over almost, 24 years now that the organization has been in play. And so much success over those years, which made me think that maybe there was a deeper history. So basically what I'm saying is I reached out to Glenn to do a history piece on the Essex Ravens, and as well, you know, like we normally do, tell his story, talk about all the cool things that he's been able to do in the sport through many walks of life, whether it be the Essex Ravens or Essex High School. And, you know, obviously other colorful things come up. You learn that he was a good wrestler at one point. And that being said, transition into a coach and all the things that he's able to do or been able to do with all of his athletes and students, really. I mean, these guys are just kids. And he's coached some people that you'll know, obviously, like Luke Wilson and OJ Atagwe and former guests like Frank Reno and Arjun Calhoun, I believe, also played for the Ravens. But deep Windsor football history in the city. And it's this year, as I was going through our interviews, I mean, it's been a pretty big year for football for Win City Sports, and I'm glad to be able to do that. I'm glad to tell everyone's story and tell the history of an organization like the Essex Ravens, who created a lot of good athletes who went on to become pro athletes or maybe went on to become just great people, as we'll talk about with Glenn as well. Following the interview today, we have some news. We're going to get you caught up from the last 2 weeks on some Windsor Spitfires news you might have missed. We also have some Windsor Lancers news that is new and that you also might have missed. And again, it's tough to gather stuff right now, but we're going to do that. We're going to get as much news as possible out there for you. We have a little bit of news on in regards to the Stanley Cup. Mikhail Sergachev was on the team, a former Windsor Spitfire. We'll talk about that. The stuff we missed, like Bob Bugner joining the San Jose Sharks. We'll talk all about that after the interview with Glenn Mills. So without further ado, it's time to get started with our interview segment for today. It's not a too long one, but a little bit longer than we are normally used to, but a great conversation. That's what the best thing about it, though. It can be 4 hours long, and as long as it's keeping you entertained, then I'm glad and I'm happy. And if you're listening, I'm happy enough. So thank you for taking the time to listen to this interview with Glenn Mills, the one-time president, one of the founders, the head coach, and director of football operations. Here we go. All right. I'm here with the head coach and director of operations for the Essex Ravens Football Club, Glenn Mills. Welcome to the show, and thanks for having me at your house.
You know what? Thank you for having me.
Thanks, man. So as we talked about a little bit just briefly now, obviously you want to do a history of the Ravens. So, you know, you've been there since the beginning, if I'm not mistaken. Kind of tell me about, like, you know, how it all kind of came to be and, like, you know, what the concept was.
So Ross Pettigrew, Greg Wood, were kind of the ones talking. There was a league called the Great Lakes Football League that had four or five teams around the Toronto area, Barrie area. And we said, hey, let's look at playing summer football or spring football. And it was funny because at first everyone was kind of like, well, football's played in the fall. Like, it really wasn't something that we really thought about.
Yeah.
So our first year, we jumped at it, 1997. And we joined the Great Lakes Football League. We went and did a presentation, Gross, Greg, and myself, and we put a staff together, and me and Greg Wood, and we got equipment and all the stuff. So we kind of, yeah, and Ross was on board as well. We kind of got all our equipment, and I think we had around 32 players our first year, and it was nuts. We were traveling all over, and it was hot. Oh, my God, our first game, I think we played, it was about 95 degrees, and our kids were dying. Like, they were just dying because they had never played in the heat.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were playing on the turf. And I think we finished a game with about somewhere around 20 guys or 21 guys or something. And it was, we had guys playing two ways and it was kind of a mix and match. And, you know what, for a first season, it was a lot of fun. You know, we learned a lot about football and the level of competition throughout the province of Ontario. And from there is kind of how it started. How we got the name is interesting as well. So, our initial talks at first, we were going to be the Essex Packers because there used to be a cheese packing company in Essex. And then, we started talking, well, what else could it be? What else could it be? And we had a crow problem in Essex, believe it or not. And we said, well, we couldn't be called the Essex Crows. So we actually looked at blackbirds. And so we called ourselves the Essex Ravens. And the logo that we initially got, we got from Heckle and Jekyll off of the cartoons. They were the macaws or whatever were.
Yeah.
So that was our first logo. And if you look at the first one with the bird, which was really, really popular, that's kind of where we, and Reg Houle, who was our graphic designer and was on our board, kind of, he went to the Disney School of Arts and he kind of designed that. And that's kind of where it all started with the birds, but it all started from the Iron Crow problem.
That's kind of hilarious.
So that's how it initially came about. And the colors, we just picked black and teal because no one else had those colors. Yeah. And that's just stayed with
us. Yeah,
it's stuck.
Sure. Yeah. That's when you see, like, even this, right, this water bottle that I have blue and black. Now that you say it, it's like, you know, Essex Ravens colors. But obviously, so you guys had a background in the sport and wanted to keep it local.
We all coached at Essex High School.
Okay.
Ross, Greg, and myself. I played at Essex and then went on to play at KO. Then I started coaching at Essex High School. So we ran at Essex High School because Ross was instrumental in getting the field, the lights, the change rooms, and everything set up there. So we practiced there to keep it central because we had kids from Windsor, kids from Bell River, kids from Amherstburg, kids from Leamington. So central. It was about 20 minutes everywhere. So we practiced there. We played there. Fantastic atmosphere. And then, you know, Coach Cook got on board, and they started putting on our games on TV. Robert Scuzzo was instrumental in that, and Cliff Danby. And then they've been on board ever since. And that's kind of, where we started at playing. Once we started developing, you know, obviously more teams and more things like that, we said, hey, we got to look at playing on turf. And then the league mandated you had to play on turf and these big stadiums and stuff. So that's why we went to the University of Windsor.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of how why we're playing there now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously times changed too, right? With the turf thing. I mean, in the last 20 years, it's probably been a big topic.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the fields, when you have three teams, yeah, it's a lot of football. You know, if it's a bad weather game, you know, you're playing three games back to back to back. Because we started off initially in 1997, we started off with just a varsity team.
Yes, of course. Yeah, obviously it's expanded.
And then we expanded in 2006 to add a JV team. And then we expanded, and I want to say 2010, I believe, maybe 2009, we added the Bantam team. Okay. And then we did have another younger age group, Pee Wee, and we're just like, it got to be too much. You know, it was 250 kids, 300 kids, and it was kind of growing out of control, so we kind of trimmed it back a little bit and just stayed with those three teams.
Yeah. And so obviously, like, the passion for football and in the community is something that drove all three of you guys. You wanted to bring it for,
you know,
kind of central, or?
Essex is a very big football area. Mm-hmm. It's also a big hockey area, but it's a very large football area. Like, the support we got here from the town and from the people in town. I mean, we would get phone calls usually on Mondays, because when we played a game, they would park down both sides of the main road. They park on the grass in the front of the school. They park everywhere because there wasn't enough parking. And we would get 1,000 people out to our games easily. And it was just a great atmosphere. It was something that was really, really special. And that's why we kept it here. It was always a great atmosphere for high school. And we just kept it here because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even like doing the research for it, I'm like, it's only 20 years? Like, it seems like it's been around for so long.
Yeah, it's actually, history of it, right? So 97. So we're coming up on, it'd be 24 years. But 25 seasons, because in 1998 we played a summer season and a fall season due to the strike. There was a strike.
Okay.
So we played actually two seasons that year. So it'd be 24 years, 25 seasons. Yeah.
And obviously, like you said, like, the community was receptive to it. I'm sure you got lots of players recruited and stuff like that. And you being involved in the sport, you know. So you mentioned you played AKO.
I played AKO for many years for Coach Morency after I played Essex High School. I never played minor football. I kind of lived out here and I really didn't know much about it. So when I went to high school, I played my first football ever. Okay. I played football and wrestling there. And I played, we didn't have a junior team when I played, so I had to go right to senior. So I played senior when I started, and I just kind of always loved sports. I took the football and wrestling, and those were the kind of sports I focused on. And, you know, Ross Bettigo and Greg Wood and Bill Hogarth, who also coached me at Essex High School, was my wrestling coach and my football coach, were instrumental in probably, you know, helping me develop into a young man that you know, if it wasn't for football and wrestling, I'll be honest, I'm not sure probably where I would have ended up. I was a little bit of a wild child, I'd say. You know, but they kept me grounded. They kept me kind of on the straight and narrow. And for all the stuff they did for me, you know, I felt that there was something I needed to give back. And that's kind of why I got involved in football. It, you know, for me, it changed my life. I mean, it really did. And it's something that I'm very passionate about with kids. And, you know, if we can help any young man and give them an opportunity through the game of football, you know, whether they play football, be on university or high school or whatever, as long, you know, there's an avenue for them to go to school to be able to play football, that's the avenue we want to try and push the kids.
That's something I talk about. It doesn't matter what sport it is, you know, like, you're developing people into men, you know what I mean? It's not just like it's a kid, he's playing football. There's a lot that comes with it, right? You guys are mentors.
Everyone thinks we're a football organization. We're far more than a football organization. Yeah. We have constant conversation with our parents. They got to be pulling their weight in school. They got to be pulling their weight at home. They got to be doing the right things in the community. And if you don't, you don't play. It's not about just playing football here. I mean, if you're not taking care of your business away from school or away from football and at home, you're just not going to play. And our parents know that. They come to me and they say they're being disrespectful. The young man's not going to play. I mean, you have to, you know, just be a responsible young man. That's part of being part of our program.
And just
taking care of it.
Yeah, that's very cool. And it's cool to hear it from you too. You know, like you said, back in the high school days, you know, everyone's been there.
I mean, Ross Bettigrew, I lived at Bill Hogarth's house. I played football and wrestling, I had a difficult home life with living at home. So I had actually moved in there. I was training. I was a very good wrestler, and I was training. I was training there, and I lived with him. I mean, we got up every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and ran 5 miles. And you know, when he took me to the weight room, we went to wrestling. We just trained and trained. And I was fortunate enough to I was fortunate enough to you know, be a very, very good wrestler and win
cool,
some
man.
Canadian championships and stuff like that. Yeah,
that's really cool. Yeah. I had Bill on. I wrestled myself, too. Yeah. I did jiu-jitsu, right? So I think it's cool. And I don't hear it a lot where, like, football players are doing wrestling. I think, like, they go hand in hand.
Absolutely do.
Like, wouldn't you, right?
Like, I truly loved wrestling. It was a one-on-one combat sport that you can't hide. I mean, you just can't hide out there, right?
No.
I mean, there's two things you're going to take. You're either going to step up and get it done, or you're going to get beat up.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a tremendous outlet. You know, and I just loved it. Like I said, Bill did a lot for me. Same with Ross. And I'm forever grateful for those guys for what they did for me. And, you know, and I tell them often, you know, the impact they've had. So it's been good.
That's very cool, man. And as you mentioned, so then you went and started coaching at the Essex High School, right?
I did.
And then right to the Ravens, and those are the two.
No, actually, I coached some other sports in between that. So I did coach lacrosse for many years in the town of Essex. Played lacrosse. I coached it because they didn't have a coach. And there was a bunch of good kids that were pretty good athletes. I played football and hockey. So in the summer, I coached lacrosse before I came to Ravens. And then I finally made the jump to Ravens, and I just continued to coach Ravens. I was a defensive coordinator the first year in 1997, and then I took over in 1998 as a head coach. And I was a head coach for many, many years, and then Ross had stepped down as he was the president, then Greg became the president, then Greg stepped down, and I became the kind of president, director of football operations, and I've been doing that role along with head coaching for a long time. I've been involved since the start, so it's been a long time.
Yeah, that's cool, man. And you guys had success early on, too. I mean,
we've been very fortunate.
Yeah.
You know, we won a lot of championships. We won a championship in 1998. Won a championship in 2002. We went to the championship in 2004. Went to a championship. Won a championship in 2010. Won another championship in 2015, 2018, 2019. Been to a championship in 2014, and been to a championship in 2007. So Western Conference Finals, I think we have 9 or 10 championships. And Ontario championships, we have 8.
Oh wow! Appearances, at least, right? Or,
well, we have 8 titles, and I think we've been there 10 times.
Oh my god, that's unbelievable! They don't have enough room on the website.
Yeah, it's funny. I have a picture on the back of the pickup truck of all the championships we've won. So they'll say either Ontario champion, or they'll say Western Conference champion. So, and that's something that, you know, I think is a tribute to our support staff. I think our entire Windsor and Essex County for the support that they give us. We get a tremendous amount of sponsorship from organizations in Windsor and Essex County to give these young men an opportunity to be able to play, because we don't turn kids away because they can't afford to play. We find ways to raise the money so that every young man gets an opportunity to play football here. And a lot of these companies step up and pay for it and help offset the costs and stuff like that. So it's big. You know, Dave Cassidy's been a huge, huge sponsor of our program, Unifor, and before that it was CAW 444 and stuff. And then they've been huge, huge sponsors. Countryside Dodge here in Essex has been a huge sponsor. Coach Go Cable's been a huge sponsor. And there's been some other ones that have been huge and instrumental in the growth of our program. You know, some of our former players that went on to do great things are huge in our program as well, and are constantly giving to, you know, even the kids nowadays. You know, so they can continue to play.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's big.
Yeah, I think you pretty much alluded to it. Like I was going to say, like, what do you think was key for that early success? And obviously it's from top to bottom.
I think, you know, the one big thing is I think the way you treat people and the way you treat the players and just everyone involved will speak volumes in regards to how successful you're going to be. Like, I remember the first year we had Coach Go, they put one game on TV. And then the next year, we fed them, we treat them really well, we give them gear and a whole bit, and after that we got every game on TV, and their people were fighting over who was going to be at the Ravens games because they knew they were going to get treated great, and our volunteers, I talk to our kids all the time. Our kids are, we have great kids, but our volunteers, like, our kids show up, it's like a pro team. I mean, they don't have to touch their equipment, they don't have to clean it, they don't have to, all they got to do is come here and play football. We have people that take care of all the equipment, set the equipment up, take the equipment down, clean the equipment, water, you name it, balls, everything. Our kids just got to show up, be respectful, play football, and compete. And the rest is taken care of. Like, there is not too many programs that run. You know, we probably have 40 to 50 volunteers that take care of everything. We have our own team doctor, team trainer, team chiropractors. We have it all that, you know, look after all of our players. And I think when the kids know you care. And I think when they know that you're going to take care of them at that type of level, you get everything you need out of them. Like I can call, you know, any one of our former players and just say, hey, you know, we need a favor. And then they're there. Like, I mean, it's important. Like when you're a Raven, you're a Raven for life. And they know that.
Mm-hmm. That's the program and the mentality.
It is. Right? It is. Black and teal. Yeah, and you'll see guys, you know, we send alumni shirts out sometimes. It says, you know, we bleed black and teal or all different things that we send to them, and we make sure they have them, and we have an alumni game where we bring them back and we introduce them, and or if something big happens for them, we put it on our website and we send it out, and we just make sure that people know, hey, listen, this guy's still doing great things. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's important that people know that stuff.
Yeah, there's tons of people out there that you don't see in the newspaper, right? But are doing great things. Like one guy's Frank Reno, I'm sure.
Absolutely, Frank was the funny. Frank played for us and come out Frank's first year. He came out wanted to be a wide receiver. And we took him to North Carolina on a trip to North Carolina. I'm sure he had one of the greatest trips of all time. And we played him. He was a receiver. Then he said, Coach, I'm a center. I said, Frank, you're not a center. You're going to play linebacker, Frank. That's where you're going to play. And we moved him, and he loved it. And, you know, went on and had a successful career at University of Windsor, played very well, and had a small little stint in the CFL. And, you know, but, yeah, great young man. And, again, we'll do anything for us. His quality character and you know, we just, Frank's great.
That's really cool, yeah. And it's just because he's gone on to do things outside of sports.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean? He does a good example.
Yeah, a ton of different things. And Frank, I mean, you know, I don't know how many people know, but Frank's had, you know, had a difficult difficult growing up as well. And, and I mean, it's people don't understand that, you know, sometimes it's even harder for kids in that situation. To when you see what Frank has done, you go, wow. Mm-hmm. Like, if you know his background, you say, wow, that is absolutely
outstanding. Exactly. If you know one side or the other, you wouldn't think that there'd be the second part
to him, right? You're right. And you know, and we get a lot of kids like that a lot of people don't know, right?
Everyone's
And it's big. Like, it's really big when you see that type of stuff. Like, those are the type of things that are great. I mean, that young man is changing lives.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it all kind of alludes to the mentality of the program, like you mentioned. That's what you hear about every, you know, successful, anything, any sport, doesn't matter what it is. So do you think that, you know, like I said, from top to bottom, everyone's passionate and committed to the role. Do you think that that's what's been key for continued success?
I think we've had the people in place, absolutely, that live and breathe it. Mm-hmm. And understand we're not just football. There's so many other things that go on here. Football is nothing more than the reward for doing all the other things you need to do, right? That's just a reward. And I always tell kids that. The game is a reward for handling every other thing that you have to handle. I mean, you know, and one thing I think we do a great job of doing is we get many different kids, many different households, many different things that come with many different issues. You know, some good, some bad. The biggest thing that I make sure is when they're at football, it's fun, and I want them thinking about football. And when they leave, I want them to know that, hey, if you need something, we're going to be there to take care of whatever you need. And I think our kids fully understand that. Like I tell our kids all the time, listen, you get yourself in trouble because kids are going to do dumb things. They're going to make mistakes.
Yeah,
I said, you give me a call. I said, you may get some form of tongue lashing, or you may get Coach Mills, you know, giving you, preaching to you, but I'll come and take care of it, buddy. I'll come and help you out. I'll pick you up. And you know how many times I've been out in the middle of the night to go get some guys that have, you know, I said, if you're drinking, just call me. I'll pick you up. I have no problem with that. You know, not that I don't agree with it, but I will pick you up to save someone getting hurt or anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. And we talk about that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have you get home safe than not get home safe.
Yeah, that's, you know, what a lot of people don't realize. That's part of being a coach.
It is part of being a coach. Yeah. You know, I mean, I've been down to, I went to court for kids. Had to speak on their behalf. So there's multiple things, and they just need to know you care. That's the biggest thing. I think they need to know you care, and I think they need to. And I tell my coaches, I said, listen, they come with baggage. Kids come with baggage. You don't know what kind of day he had. You don't know if he ate. You don't know if he didn't eat. You don't know if he had a fight with his mom or dad. You don't know if someone died in his family. You just don't know. So when they're here, you know, make sure you take the time to, you know, greet him, to ask him how he's doing, to make sure he doesn't need anything. You know, because often if you ask, they'll tell you. They really will.
Yep.
You know, that's important for us. It's something that you know, I shake every one of my players' hands almost every single day because I think it's important. And when they leave practice, most of them line up and shake our hands. Just simply because I want them to know, hey, if you ever need anything, just ask. And I will help you. Right? And I don't want them to ever think that we're not approachable. So, you know, and I think, you know, even there's times where I get up their butt. Like, I'm probably one of the hardest coaching guys. If you talk to any player that played for me, I'm going to get on you. And I'm going to ride you, and I'm going to get the most out of you. Why? Because if I didn't think you could do it, I wouldn't get on your butt.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And if I think you're dogging and I don't think you're giving me everything you got and you're selling yourself short, I'm going to get on you. Not because I just want to give you a hard time. Yeah. Because I know you can give me more. And you can do better. You know, and they get it. They eventually figure it out and they say, Coach, you know what? It took me a while to figure it out. But it is what it is, right? It's just, and that's what I just love working with kids. I've spent my whole life working with kids and I love coaching. And I, you know, that's kind of why I do it every day.
Yeah, that's great. That's the Essex Ravens MO. You know, that's it. Everything about it is exactly what you're saying. It's so cool to hear because... Not everyone's like, not every program's like that, not every coach is like that.
No, it's funny, and a lot of people don't know. So population-based wise, we're probably the smallest population-based team in the province of Ontario.
Oh, yeah, imagine playing against Toronto and...
We only have about 250,000 people, right, to choose.
Exactly, yeah.
Whereas most of these other places have a million.
Like, yeah.
London's got a million, you know, with the surrounding area.
Yeah, exactly.
And people say, like, how do you guys do so well? How do you win? Like, you know, like, holy cow, how do you do it? I said, guys, listen, if we can do it, anyone can do it. But it's not just at the football field. I mean, it happens, like, this is like a 30 to 4-hour week job. It's you know, there's no pay to it. I don't get paid. I don't do it because I want to get paid. But it's constant. Like, I'm on my computer. I'm doing stuff. I was doing film last night. Like, I'm always doing something. I'm reaching out to guys.
Yeah.
I'm helping out Windsor Minor, coaching a little clinic there right now, doing some stuff with them. We got a flag league that we started up that's going to happen on it's going to start on Sunday, the first games. And, again, why? Just to give kids opportunities, right? And that's what it's about.
That's
so
what it's, all about,
it's constant. It's just constant. If you want to be successful, you got to work.
That's awesome, man. Man, like I said, this is it's been a short history for the Ravens in reality, 20 plus years, many championships, many appearances. We could sit here and go through them all, but
yeah,
I do want to talk about 2010 for sure. My buddy Kyle Miller was on the team.
Absolutely, receiver.
Yeah,
probably. From Bell River.
There we go. I'll probably see Nils later, so I got to tell him. But I watched that video of you talking about that, and I remember when it happened, and just it was
incredible.
Crazy, right?
It was that. I remember the whole weekend. Well, I remember the season. We were up and down the season. I think we finished the season 5-3. We were the sixth seed. It was funny because we were very talented. We every game we lost, I think we lost one by one, we lost one by six, and we lost one by three or something.
Strong.
And we were competitive in every game. And I think the turning point for that season was we'd went up to Sault Ste. Marie, and we lost a real tough game there. We lost 38-33 or something, and we were driving to score the winner. We had turned the ball over 10 times. Well, the last pick Austin threw between fumbles and interceptions was the 10th one about their 20-yard line. And it ended the game. And I was mad. I was really upset because we didn't play anywhere to our potential. There were several problems the night before. And Austin had drove it up late, and Terrence Spina drove it up late, and a couple other guys. And they were in no shape to play football. We just played poorly. And they played their best game, and we played our worst. And I'll never forget the radio announcer guy come up to me, and at the end of the game he said, "You know, would you consider the Sioux SaberCats an elite football team now that they beat the Essex Ravens?" And I was mad, and I said, "Did you watch the same game I watched?" I said, "We had 600 plus yards of offense, we had 10 turnovers." I said, "Do you think they're an elite football team?" I said, 10 turnovers." I said, "No, they're the same horseshit football team they were before we played them." And I ended up getting fined, and I got in a bunch of trouble. And I remember going to the change room, and I was mad. And I was just upset with what he said, and he kind of downplayed our kids. And I remember going in, and I kind of give him an earful. I said, "You know, I'm probably going to get fined. I might get suspended for some of the comments I made." And I said, "I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed with the way we came in here and our attitude and our mindset and everything." And I said, "You know, we have so much potential on this football team, and we're just wasting it." You know, and I think that day, legitimately, we got home the next day, and I'll never forget, Darnell Wolcott called the practice, And we came back the following week, and man, we were a different football team. And we went in the sixth seed. I think we traveled almost 7,000 kilometers. And we went up the first game. I think we went up to the Sioux, and we beat them. Oh, my God. It was something like 49-0 or 50-0. We just thumped them good. It might even be higher. Then we went to and we played Mississauga. We were down 28-0 in the first quarter. We just didn't get off the bus. It was horrible. And then we ended up winning 49-28. They didn't score a point after the first quarter. And then we played Steel City in the Sky Dome at the championship or the Western Conference Final. And we just slapped them around. And then we went to Ottawa and played probably the greatest football game in the history of the Ontario Varsity Football League with a 39-32 triple overtime thriller. We drove down the field with about a minute and a half to go and scored a touchdown, then a two-point conversion. And Austin just played like an animal, you know. But I knew the night before, like we had went for dinners at Mother Tucker's in Ottawa, the market. And every one of our customary things that we do is every single person on the team for championship, before the championship night, like either the Friday before or the day of Saturday, gets an opportunity to speak to the team. So they get to talk about the season, they get to talk about the highlights, they get to talk about anything they want to talk about that season. You know, and I remember listening to everybody, and our staff, all of our staff spoke, the doctor spoke, the trainer spoke, everyone spoke, and I spoke last. And I tell you, I walked out of there, and I honestly said, we won't lose this football game. I said, I guarantee you we will not lose the game. I was that confident. And I remember we're down 8-0. We're down by 8. And the guys were like, Coach, we're down 8. I said, guys, we got this. We're fine. Like, we're going to win. Trust me, we're going to win. I just know we're going to win. And even the coach, they're all looking at me like, okay. You know, and I said, guys, we got it. We're going to win. Trust me, I know we're going to win. We drive down and we score. I'm like, oh, shit, okay. You know, and then we get the two-point conversion. I think there's about 8 seconds left on the clock, and we kick off. They dash down the ball, and we go in overtime. And, I mean, the overtime was nuts. I think they score, we score. We score, they score. We score. And then P.J. Bayless, I'll never forget, makes the tackle. And the guy's about 6 inches short. It was close. And everybody stormed the field, and I was trying to get everybody back. I'm like, guys, they got to measure. Like, this is close. Yeah. This is not over. And then when they measured and they were about, you know, a foot short, I was like, oh, my God. And it was crazy. But it was definitely probably the greatest, honestly, the greatest football game, I think, in the Ontario Varsity Football League. It was incredible. We had two or three buses that made the trip up to Ottawa. We had more fans than they had. They were the home team there. It was in Ottawa. Yeah. It was incredible. Just an incredible season.
That's crazy, man. Are you one of those guys when you're under pressure, your heart rate actually goes down?
No, I usually am pretty fired up. But you know what? I was so calm. And I just knew leaving Friday night. And I told all the coaches, and they said, how did you know? I said, did you listen to them talk? Like, you just listened to the players talk and how important it was. There was no way we were going to lose. There was just no way. I just truly believe that. I said, it's too important. Like, they just want it too bad. You know, and Kyle will probably remember you ask him, he'll probably tell you this exact same thing. Every single person spoke. We were there probably for about 4 hours, you know, and every guy got to speak.
That's crazy, man. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about before with like the kind of tough love situation where you're like, you know, if I'm not going to get on you just to get on you.
No, and that's...
You know what I mean? Like after that game where you were upset with the reporter, that's exactly what you instilled on the team, what you were saying before.
You know, right? And they were like, Coach, you probably shouldn't have said that stuff. And I said, you're right. I probably shouldn't have. I said, but you know what? I was mad. I was upset. And the funny part was the reporter... He put it on his broadcast. Like he has a podcast like this, and he had played it the next day. So my email was going crazy, and the league was going crazy. And he said, you know, Coach Mills from the Ravens, and he's arrogant. This is what he said. And it was funny. So I had sent him, I shipped him, I emailed him, or I mailed him a Ravens shirt and a Ravens hat. Just because
I was a champion 2010.
No, I just mailed him some Ravens gear. Because he was being a, you know, he wouldn't let it go. Yeah. He wouldn't let it go. So I shipped it to him. And my wife and everyone was like, what are you doing? I said, the guy just won't stop. I'm going to ship him Raven stuff. Maybe he'll be quiet. And then when we played him in the playoffs, I didn't see him. You know, he didn't show up. And I was like, where's your buddy? Like, where is he today? You know, I don't usually do that, but it was a sore spot with me, right? Sure. I was mad. Sure.
It is sports too, man.
I was more, I don't want to say embarrassed, I was more upset just to the fact that they had never beaten us before. And we just played terribly. Mm-hmm. And it's just not a reflection on the way we do things. Because in the history of the Essex Ravens Football Club, and I think I still am correct, I don't think we've lost a football game in our entire history by more than 11 points in 20 plus years. Any game we've ever lost.
That's unbelievable.
You know, we lost the championship by one, we lost the championship by two, and we lost the championship by five. The only championships we lost. And all the other ones, we kind of, most of the time, blew them out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, you know, and then, I mean, to think about that, like, that's a pretty crazy, crazy number when, you know, 11 is the most you've ever lost by. That tells me you're in every game. You know, it's crazy.
Exactly. That's what I mean, like, doing the research. It's like, yeah. There's only been so many years, and they've been so many changes. And look at the points, like, what?
Like we don't lose often. We don't lose often. And, you know, I think I've become a much better loser. We don't lose very often, but I still...
Well, that's the reason.
There's still something that I've gotten far better at it because I was never a very good loser, right?
And, yeah, for sure.
And I think the more, you know, when we lost, it just... For me, it's just about now we're going to work harder.
Yeah.
We're just going to work harder just because
that's the way to do the thing, right? Yeah. And, you know, like we're talking about the success, obviously everyone's part is vital. And of course, the players too. You coach some guys that have gone, like, obviously people are going to know guys like Luke Wilson, Darrell Townsend, and stuff like that. So absolutely. I'm sure it's cool.
Brian Baalke, Mike Atkinson, like, there's been so many. Andy Fantuz, you know, there's.
The list goes on.
Yeah, it goes on. There's been many, many.
It's probably cool for you to be able to. A, do it, look back, and then, you know, like, keep in touch with them. I know you went to games to see Luke and stuff like that. It's probably, you know, it's not like the reason that you do it, obviously, but it's got to be kind of gratifying.
You know what it is? It is, you know, I was fortunate enough to go watch Brian Baalke play twice at Stanford. You know, we always tied an NFL game into it as well. And then when he went to the 49ers, we got to go down there and do some stuff. I've been to some training camps with guys, with players and stuff. So it's been kind of cool that way. I think the biggest thing for me is just watching these guys, the way they handle themselves when they get to that level and how professional and how almost every one of them come back and give back to the community. Yeah.
Windsor's finest.
They give back to the community. Like Luke does so much. Yeah. Brian Baalke did so much. You know, Darryl did a lot. All kinds of guys do so much, right? And that's the biggest thing is they don't have to do that, but they understand that, you know, they need to do that.
And you knew them as kids, too, right? Like, really, you knew them as teenagers, if that. And you're thinking, like, I remember when I had to pick this kid up.
I remember Brian Baalke. We used to joke with Brian Baalke when he first came out to Ravens. Oh, my goodness. He couldn't step over bags. I mean, he's tripping over his feet. Like, I'm like, this guy is a hazard, you know? But he was the first guy there, last guy to leave. And I'll tell you, man, nobody worked harder. He would do a full practice and go weight train after, and he just worked, willed himself to get a scholarship at Stanford, and then went on to play a great success in the CFL, and that's just simply he's
committed.
When he put the helmet on, I don't think there's anybody that legitimately played harder than that guy. Like, man, he played every down like someone has stolen his grandmother's purse and they were 70 yards down there. Like, that's how he played. Like, I could never find a clip when he played at Ravens where even if the ball was 30 yards over there, he wasn't running full speed to get that guy. Like, he just played at the highest level and with the most intensity I've ever seen anybody play. And that's just the way he was. You know, and then you got a guy like Luke who hated losing more than anybody. You know, and I just in his drive was just, you know, and those guys are few and far between. Like, a lot of guys say they want to, you know, they go to the next level, they want to do this, they want to do that, and then you don't understand what it takes, and then you see those guys and you go, guys, like, he made it because he just, his will is over the top. Like, there's just not many guys like that with that type of mindset. There just isn't. You know.
Yeah, it's hard to come across.
It really is. Like, he was very athletically gifted, and Luke, and mentally tough and just physically tough and just he just hated losing. He hated not being successful. Well, it just drove him crazy.
Yeah, that's a pro athlete.
Yeah, you know, and that's Luke. I mean, that's Luke in a nutshell.
That's crazy, man. And, you know, a little bit more about yourself. You know, I know you've this Essex Ravens has been your baby, but you've gone on to do some other stuff too, coaching Team Ontario. I'm sure that's
I did 7 years as assistant coach with Team Ontario. I did 8 years as a head coach of Team Ontario, winning a couple of national championships. I've done a couple of years of Team Canada,
yeah.
won a world championship with those guys. Coached 7 games in the Cowboy Stadium. I'm 6-1 in Cowboy Stadium against Team USA. Had some really cool stuff. Was a guest coach at the Edmonton Eskimos camp. I was a guest coach in Saskatchewan Rough Riders camp. I've done a lot of stuff in Michigan. I've done some stuff in Michigan State. I've been very fortunate. Very, very fortunate with the game of football. I really have. Like, I've been blessed to be able to do what I've done. I've traveled to, right now, 22 out of the 32 NFL stadiums. I'm trying to get to all 32. I've been fortunate. I really have been, and the game for me has been a blessing. It's been something that's been really great, really great.
That's so cool, man. And like, you still give back. You know, you're still obviously doing what you've always done.
I love it. I just love it. I love the game. I think I love the character it builds. There's no other game, I don't think, that has so many different different parts of it. Like, I mean, there's highs, there's lows, there's goods, there's bads, there's difficult situations. There's multiple things that you have to manage, like sometimes through a game, sometimes through a season, sometimes, you know, who knows how long it could be, right? I think it builds so many different things. Just hard work builds mental toughness, true character. I talk to my players all the time. It's easy to be great when things are going well. How good are you when things aren't going well? That's true character. And I talk to my kids about that all the time. Anybody can be great when you're winning or when you're at the top of the mountain. What are you doing when you're not at the top of the mountain?
Yeah. And that's really the business that you're in. You know, it's not, it's not football.
The funny part is, and I laugh, because if you look at some of the teams we play in this league, oh my God, some of the Toronto teams. Brampton's,
yeah, I can imagine.
Toronto's, some of the Mississaugas, like, these guys have athlete after athlete after athlete, and we beat them. And the funny part is we laugh, because I go, man, if I had known every one of those guys, I'd never lose a football. We just got a bunch of tough kids that work hard. They're we have some talent, but most of the time they just work hard and they're tough. We're just physically tough. That's the mindset we come in. We just refuse to lose. That's something that we coach, and that's something that we make sure our kids understand, is that, listen, we're going to lose. If we're going to lose, we're going to lose, but we're going to kill ourselves trying not to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to play every down like it's the last down we're ever going to play. And that's something that we pride ourselves in doing. We just don't never, ever quit. We don't ever surrender, ever. We just don't. You'll never see that from a team that I ever coach or any program that I ever managed, because it's just something that it never happened. It's not acceptable.
That's crazy. That's awesome. That's so cool. Yeah. It's so cool to hear. And then now, like I said, it's great to document the history of the Ravens, but going forward, where are we right now? Do you think we're going to be back next year?
I do think we're going to be back next year. I think this is obviously a very difficult time, of a difficult time for the young athletes, I think, that lose, they lost so much stuff between school and sports and different things. But again, you got to handle adversity, right? And you got to know how to handle this stuff.
Ups and downs.
And there is ups and downs. I love the game more than anything, but I realize it's a setback. That's it. Use it as a setback. It's a great time still to work on your skills and drills. It's a great way to work on your academics. There's many things you can improve right now without the distraction of football. So because you're not playing football doesn't mean you can't become a better person, a better athlete, a better student. You still can do all those things if you choose to do all those things. So, we will be back. The game will be back. I'm hoping. I think I'm hopeful that it'll be back by next April. I can't see it. You just don't know. Yeah. You don't know. You don't want to make any guarantees. Yeah. If someone would ever told me that we would have had a pandemic and the world would have shut down in my time, I would have said, no chance would that ever happen. Like, this is something that I could never imagine. You know,
of course, it's unforeseeable, right?
Yeah, but I do think we'll recover. I do think we'll be back. Obviously, I think it'll take a little bit of time because there's lots of a lot of people unsure. You know, there's lots of uneasiness all over the place with school, with sports, with everything. But I think the people that want to make sure it's back and in any sport, the people that are diehards and just want it back, they'll find a ways to get it back, you know, and they'll put the, they'll get the safety precautions in place and they'll do what they have to do to be able to play this great game. Mm-hmm. And we will recover. We will.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And like you mentioned, like with the Ravens themselves, just having all the right people, being passionate, doing what they need to do.
Yeah, we stay in touch with our kids. We touch base with them. I'm on Facebook posting stuff and I'm still putting videos. Hey, guys, here's a great drill. Here's this, here's that. You know, it doesn't mean everything stops.
No, yeah. And you can't let it, you know, you can't let it overrule you. And you guys are offering that kind of stuff too. Like you said, the flag football league.
Yeah, we're doing a trench camp right now. We're doing some different things. Yeah, you want to get better? Come on, get better. We're there every day. You know, I've been to McMax 3 times this week. I'm going again tomorrow. I got to go Sunday. Be 5 times in 7 days. I'll be there, and that's fine. You know, get better. Like, we have lots of guys if you want to get better. You know, so, but yeah, we'll get back. We'll get back at it.
Well, that's a great way to tie it in because, like I said, like, just talking about the history of the Ravens, the mentality, that all goes forward as well. Like you said, you know, it doesn't matter, or you don't know how long.
Well, the thing is, you can't change what's happened.
Exactly.
So you either move on, or you just let it drag you down. And I've never really let it drag me down anything. So it's like, what can we do to be better? You know, for us, it's a great way to evaluate everything we do too. Like, you know, it's sometimes it's easy to get complacent when you're on the top of the mountain. You know, and then sometimes you get guys, they make send emails or they make some comments and you go, oh, you know what? No, maybe I let up a little bit. I'm going to work a little bit harder. You know, because it is hard to continually push and push and push, and people say, you know, like, buddy, like, you've pretty much done everything. Like, why do you keep working so hard? I said, just because I want to be better. Yeah. I think we can be better.
It's not over yet, you know?
You know, I mean, my time will come. I understand that, you know, and it's probably, you know, sooner than later with my age and stuff like that. And you know what? It is what it is. I've had a tremendous run, and I love the game, and, you know, I'll always love the game. I have 2 grandsons that are just starting to play, and, you know, I'll enjoy it that way and different things like that. But, you know, it comes a time for everybody where it's, hey, it's time to, you know, let someone else step up and ride in the sunset, and it is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I wanted to do this, and I'm glad that we got it done, man. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
No problem.
For bringing me out here and taking the time to do this.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Drake DeMore back here on the podcast. That was Glenn Mills, as you know, the head coach and one of the owners, operators of the Essex Ravens Football Club. Thank you to Glenn for, as I mentioned, inviting me into your home to do the interview and agreeing to do it. You know, it's great to document the Essex Ravens history and hear his passion for the game and for coaching, really. I mean, obviously, he's got a great passion for the Essex Ravens, but you could clearly hear, and when I was sitting at the kitchen table, see the passion when he was talking about, you know, helping kids outside, off the field, all the stuff that he has had to do, sometimes in unfortunate ways, to you know, go help a kid out. But you can really see the passion in it, and doing it for so long. Again, not as long as I would have anticipated, but still to be going this strong. And as we mentioned in the interview, one of my buddies was on the 2010 team, and I went and hung out with him right after, or shortly after doing the interview last week at Glenn's house. And what Kyle Miller said was that Glenn is the perfect guy for the Essex Ravens. You know, without him, it would be so much different. And that got me thinking, like, yeah, you know, like I said, like, think about all the success that he's had, and, you know, going on to Team Ontario and Western and stuff like that, which is something that we kind of skipped over. He coached for Western for a while, and it's like crazy to think, like, I wonder what Essex Ravens would be without Glenn, if Glenn were to have established it and moved on, where it would be at this point. If it would even be around at all, or maybe it'd be better. I don't know. It's kind of hard to say that given all the success they've had under him, but it's just a crazy thing, one of those, you know,
food for thought moments, I suppose. And coming from a guy that that coach that was coached by him as well, obviously we got the perfect mix match out there with not only Glenn, but as we mentioned and talked about in the interview, with everybody from top to bottom being committed and passionate about their role. Rather, if you're the coach, or if you're the water boy, or if you're the stats taker, whatever, the timekeeper, whatever, everyone there has a passion for the organization, yet alone the game. So it's cool to finally highlight some more Essex Raven stuff here on Wind City Sports, but we do have no other football news to talk about. As we talked about with Glenn, they are running a flag football camp right now and some trench camps, so you can check out essexravens.ca, I believe. I'll pull that up in just a second. Yeah, you know, essexravens.com to check that out if you're looking to play or get your children involved and keep them conditioned. But I do have some news, but some hockey news, as mentioned at the top of the show, a little bit about Mikhail Sergachev. And this is a little bit of a different piece of Spitfire news that we usually definitely don't talk about every week, every year, or fuck, who knows, even every decade. On Monday night, the Tampa Bay Lightning won the 2020 Stanley Cup, defeating the Dallas Stars 2-0 to take the series in Game 6. Mikhail Sergachev hoisted the cup for his team, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Just 3 years ago, Mikhail was playing for Windsor Spitfires at the WSU Center and was also part of the 2017 Memorial Cup Championship team. So a huge congratulations goes out to Mikhail on winning the Stanley Cup, of course. In 25 games of play in this playoff, Sergachev had 6 goals and 7 assists. He was touted as one of the best defensemen on the team. He's proved himself to be a top 4 defenseman on such a stacked team like the Tampa Bay Lightning. Definitely had some struggles throughout the playoffs, but I mean, definitely proved himself this playoff, if not, you know, 2 years ago, claiming his spot as I think he was 19, 20. You know, he still could have came back and played in the OHL for the Spitfires in his first year with the Tampa Bay Lightning, where he was actually drafted to the Montreal Canadiens and flipped over there. And look at him now. So now, once a Memorial Cup champion, now a Stanley Cup champion. Big shout out to Mikhail Sergachev, who we almost had on the show here, actually, too. Some other Spitz news that we missed in the last 2 weeks. Following the release of last week's podcast with Megan Augusta, you can check that one out as well. The OHL announced key dates for their return to play action plan. OHL training camps are scheduled to open on Sunday, November 15th, with exhibition games playing on the weekends of November 20th to the 22nd and 27th to 29th. Other notable dates on the 2020-2021 season include a February 10th, 2021 trade deadline, the conclusion of the regular season on April 29th, and the 2021 OHL playoffs for the J. Ross Robertson Cup, taking place from May 2nd to June 14th. The Memorial Cup next year, presented by Kia, is scheduled for June 17th to 27th and will be hosted by either the Oshawa Generals or the Sioux Greyhounds. How they're determining that, I'm not sure. And of course, the regular season is set to begin on December 1st, which will be here very quickly. And finally, we missed it on the podcast last week. I'm pretty sure we made it to the radio. We made a post about it. Bob Bugner has been named the head coach of the San Jose Sharks. The Windsor native and former coach and president of the Spitfires was the interim coach last season after taking over for Pete DeBoer, who also has Windsor playing and coaching ties. Fittingly enough, 2017 Memorial Cup champion coach of the Spitfires, Rocky Thompson, will join Bob in San Jose as assistant coach. Listen to Bob on the Wind City Sports podcast as well, with Warren Reichel talking, again, another history piece, talking about how they came to purchase the team and kind of turn it around, all the things they were able to do from there. Episode 170. And last week, we also reported that Lexi Pollard of the Women's Lancers volleyball team will be going pro in Greece. Two other Lancers followed suit from both the men's and women's hockey teams. So Lexi Pollard going out to Greece was on the radio show. I think we retweeted that as well. But first off, the Cincinnati
Yeah, Cincinnati Cyclones of the ECHL have signed defenseman Jack Von Buckel from the men's team here in Windsor to a standard player contract for the 2020-2021 season. Von Buckel enters his first pro season after completing a three-year stint at the University of Windsor. During his time here, the 6'7", 225-pound defender compiled 222 penalty minutes and 7 points over 55 games for the Lancers. Meanwhile, Lancers women's hockey goaltender Molly Jenkins has signed a professional contract with, and help me with this one, the Asulu Almaty in Kazakhstan of the Professional European Women's Hockey League, the EWHL. Jenkins, who played 4 years with the Blue and Gold, was contacted by a scout from Pursuit Hockey Development with the opportunity. After submitting game film to the organization, Jenkins received an email from the scout letting her know that she has made the squad. This opportunity also gives Jenkins a chance to apply for citizenship and play for the national team in the Olympic qualifier next summer. So for 2022, trying to get in. That's pretty cool stuff. And that's all this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every other Thursday on the podcast with a brand new interview with a local athlete, coach, entrepreneur, whatever it may be. You can listen to all 200 plus of our episodes and interviews where you're listening to it right now on the Wind City Sports Podcast, dropping every other Thursday morning on windcitysports.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere podcasts are found. We also have the Wind City Sports radio show airing every single Thursday, even if we have a podcast or not, on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit at 12:30, and replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. You can also listen online and listen to replays on cjam.ca. There we'll play highlights from our podcast interviews, some music, and as much local sports news as we can gather during this pandemic, broadcasting from home, still pulling it off. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at WinCity_sports. Give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be. If you're trying to find us on social media or in any podcast platform, give us a review, subscribe, follow, whatever it is as well. But if you're having trouble, Wind City is all one word, WINCITY, the Wind City Sports Podcast, or simply just Wind City Sports. Should be easy to find by now, going on 5 years of the show. You can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram. But until next week, smell you later.